Good morning and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, partner in charge of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research as new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. There you can find our new report, The Quest to Be One by Russ Linden, a story of the different organizations and their desire to be similar. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Roberto Salazar, administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service. Good morning, Roberto.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. Well, let's jump right into it. Could you begin by talking to us and our listeners about what the mission and vision of the Food and Nutrition Service is?
Well, the Food and Nutrition Service is that little-known agency of federal government housed at the U.S. Department of Agriculture that is simply responsible for ensuring that every American in need, every family, every individual, every child in need has access to a healthful, nutritious diet. And we achieve that in a number of ways in terms of programs and services that we provide to the American public, specifically that we provide to one out of every five Americans.
Could you tell us about some of the programs you just mentioned?
Sure. Most notably are what I call our signature series programs or services include programs most commonly known as the Federal Food Stamp Program, serving some 29 million Americans each and every year. More notably, well-known programs like the School Lunch Program, serving yet another 29 million children school lunch every day. And another well-known program and very popular and effective program is the WIC program, program serving women, infants, and children, serving some close to 8 million participants each and every month. Those are the signature series of our programs. There are a total of 15 domestic nutrition assistance programs, ensuring that we are reaching out and meeting the needs of Americans in need to ensure, again, that they have access to a healthful and nutritious diet each and every day.
How do you think about the size of FNS? How do you describe it in terms of budget? You talked about the people you reach, but how about the skills of the employees?
Well, we certainly recognize that we are a government agency, and we manage and are responsible for entitlement programs as well as some discretionary programs. But I oftentimes challenge my team to recognize what business we're in and to recognize that we are, in essence, a corporation, albeit a nonprofit corporation. We are an incorporated entity in the business of nutrition. We're a $50 billion corporation, which is a very sizable budget for a small federal agency. Given that fact, we recognize that we are in the nutrition business. We do have an array of products and services that we're responsible for that we need to get to what I call our market, our concentrated and targeted markets, needy families in need of our assistance, in need of our services. And so we take an approach that is reflective of a business sense, if you will, and try to apply that in everything that we do each and every day.
And how about your team? I mean, just sort of the number of the employees and the range of skills. As you were describing the programs, I had such a different picture of the type of people who would be helping you administer.
Well, let me put it into perspective. When I talk about this $50 billion corporation at USDA, that's $50 billion out of USDA's roughly $80 billion budget. It is the lion's share of financial resources at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Recognizing that the U.S. Department of Agriculture is comprised of over 100,000 employees, we're a mere fraction of that, of being 1,500 employees out of that 100,000. So we're a very small pool of very talented individuals who are charged with an awesome responsibility to ensure that these dollars, this investment of $50 billion, is managed wisely and effectively. I can honestly say, both from my experience in federal service as well as my experience in state government service, that I have never met a group of more dedicated public servants than those in the arena of social services and nutrition assistance programs. These are individuals who are clearly dedicated and impassioned about what they do in terms of serving and meeting the needs of Americans all across this country.
Now, you're the administrator. Could you tell us more about your role and your responsibilities?
In this corporate entity, as I've described it, I function by and large as the chief executive officer. My role is to make sure that we are on task and on target with our corporate priorities, establishing and understanding our direction. certainly driven in large measure by the statutes and the rules and the regulations that come forth in a government environment, but always recognizing that we work and live in a competitive marketplace, a changing marketplace where needs are constantly changing, our customer base is constantly evolving. And so to that end, it's my job to make sure that the team stays focused, that we understand our market, that we understand our customer base, that we are constantly modifying, developing our programs and our products and our services, enhancing them, bringing value added to our products and services, and ultimately getting those products and services to market in an efficient and effective way, making sure that we're reaching our customers.
How does one become administrator of FNS? What were your previous experiences that got you here?
Well, I've been fortunate in that my career has been a constant building path of sorts. Each experience has led to the next experience in my life. I wouldn't call myself a Washington insider by any means, but I've come and gone from Washington off and on since 1981. My first experience in government being that as a U.S. Senate page back in 1981, which really opened my eyes to the concept of public service, the concept of government, and all that government can and is for the American people. That early experience in life led me to pursue opportunities in my education and my career that would afford me the ability to serve in a public capacity, always as an appointed official, which affords me the ability to recognize that I have a fixed period of time to get something done, to serve, and to move on. That being said, have had a variety of experiences both at the state level as well as the federal level in managing and administering a variety of different subject areas, a variety of different agencies and programs, building hopefully what is a strong leadership and management skill set that transcends boundaries of government program definition, but rather gives me the ability to provide that management and leadership skill set to whatever endeavor or task that's presented before me.
Is there any one job or any one experience in your previous roles that you think best prepared you for your present position?
Well, certainly my role in the great state of New Mexico as the director of the Human Services Agency, overseeing public assistance programs and child support enforcement programs, from the standpoint that they're like programs, social service programs, a large staff to manage, dealing with what can be very emotional and impassioned issues in terms of serving needy families and children. That certainly served to prepare me quite well in terms of understanding the dynamics of these types of programs and these types of issues, and certainly prepared me to understand the challenge of a government agency in this arena. But I must honestly say that every experience I have had has led me to my next step in life and has contributed to my ability to hopefully do an effective job.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned your work at the state, because I know in preparing for this interview, I read about your work at the state, and you've also worked now at the federal level as well as before. Could you give us some contrast or some observations about the difference in terms of, you know, managing in government at these different levels?
Well, certainly there are a wide variety of differences. Understanding that the common denominator is bureaucracy ultimately, but you're dealing with different magnitudes of bureaucracy, different levels of bureaucracy, and perhaps different levels of sophistication of bureaucracy, but it's bureaucracy nonetheless, and so it becomes a function of how you manage that reality. Distinctions that I would draw with respect to state-level government versus federal-level government, at least in my experiences, are that state agencies that I've administered have been direct hands-on providers, retailers, if you will, of those products and services, of those government products and services. Here at the federal level, the experience I've had thus far has really been that of a wholesaler. We develop the product, we manufacture the product by virtue of our processes of statutes and rules and regulations and policy making. But in terms of delivering that product, getting it out to the market, getting it to consumers, to customers, that's done at the local level, at the retail level, and state agencies function in that retail capacity. And so it does lend itself to a business model in my mind, and it keeps me focused to recognize those relationships of what I call that supply chain. And that is the distinct difference. I'm constantly reminding my team and reminding myself that it It behooves us to bring individuals into our organization who have that fresh perspective of the local delivery level. I come from that perspective. Many of the members of my team come from that perspective. But our shelf life expires, and it's imperative that we continue to refresh our perspective and understand how it is that consumers receive our product and how they obtain what we offer at the local level. And so it's imperative that we have that perspective constantly.
Well, let me just ask you about a couple of the things that this would take place. I mean, one of the things people talk about when they come to Washington is they're surprised at the speed by which decisions are made, and they often sort of reflect on it. It takes a long time. How does that compare to, say, a state level?
Well, certainly there are perhaps more structured protocols and requirements oftentimes in some of the decision making at the national level, but all with good reason. One would suggest that we all too often do business at the speed of government and not necessarily at the speed of thought, as some would suggest we ought to. But there is good reason for that. Sometimes it can be frustrating. State government, likewise, from my experience, has similar processes that can seem burdensome or seem to be a barrier. But again, it is a function of size of bureaucracies that can contribute to that. And ultimately, in either case, whether it's state or federal, if you understand the system, you develop successful relationships with the partners you work with, ultimately you can use those systems to manage effectively and achieve things in short order.
It's an interesting point. An increasing amount of attention is being paid to the diets of Americans. What are the dietary guidelines for Americans, and why are they so important? We'll ask Roberto Salazar, the Food and Nutrition Service, to explain these guidelines when our conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.